Jai.
Ananta Koti Vaishnava Ki
Jai.
Nama Charva Shikari Das Thakur Ki
Jai.
Prem Sakaho Shikrishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vashadi Gaur Bhakta Brinaki
Jai.
Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gopinath Sham Kurunatha Kundi Gurudhan Ki
Jai.
Vrindavan Tham Ki
Jai.
Vrindavan Tham Ki Jai. Jagannath Ki
Jai.
Gangamayi Ki Jai. Jamanamayi Ki
Jai.
Tulsi Devi Ki
Jai.
Bhakti Devi Ki Jai. Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki
Jai.
All glories to you,
Samaveta.
All glories to you, Samaveta. All glories to you,
Samaveta. Krishna.
Go pray with Ande. Now we're that's interesting. Got the wrong bunny hats.
What's wrong with
it? Remind me to write to DDT about the bunny hats for chapter 9.
Better heads for chapter 9?
Running heads.
Running heads.
Let's do a cell phone check. All the cell phones can be silent or off. Or we can do a kid check. Just a little button on the kid's shoulder. Just press the button.
Or should you like more light?
Yeah. I think more light would be useful, huh? It's a secret. We know where the light is. Now it's just a question of the switch.
Does this light work?
Doesn't work. Okay.
Okay, so sorry.
It looks nice, though. Oh, that's good. Okay. This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 9th chapter, text 1. Maybe you want to, let's see, you might come forward just a little bit, more people might come, they'll have a place to sit. We're okay, we can adjust later if somebody. Too much planning. We're all right. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Shri Bhagavan Uvacha.
Idam tu te guhyatamam.
Idam tu te guhyatamam.
Pravaksham yamasuryave.
Pravaksham yamasuryave.
Gyanam vijnana sahitam.
Gyanam vijnana sahitam.
Yajgatva moksase shubhat.
Yajgatva moksase shubhat.
Idam tu te guhyatamam.
Idam tu te guhyatamam.
Pravaksham. Suyave,
Pravaksham, Suyave,
Gyanam Vigyana Sahitam,
Gyanam Vigyana Sahitam,
Yajgatva Mokshase Shubhat,
Yajgatva Mokshase Shubhat,
Idam Tu Te Guhyatamam,
Idam Tu Te Guhyatamam,
Pravaksham,
Suyave,
Ravakshami, Suyave,
Jnanam Vidyanam Sahitam,
Jnanam Vidyanam Sahitam,
Yajgyatva Mokshase Shubhat,
Yajgyatva Mokshase Shubhat.
Shri Bhagavan Vacha,
Shri Bhagavan Vacha.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
the Supreme Personality of Godhead said,
Idam,
Idam,
this,
this,
to,
but,
te, unto you,
unto you,
Guhyatamam,
Guhyatamam,
the most confidential,
the most confidential,
Prabhakshami,
Prabhakshami,
I am speaking.
I am speaking.
Anasuyave.
Anasuyave.
To the envious.
To the envious.
Jnanam.
Jnanam.
Knowledge.
Knowledge.
Vijnana.
Vijnana.
Realized.
Realized
knowledge. Sahitam.
Sahitam.
With.
With.
Yat.
Yat.
Which.
Which.
Gatva.
Gatva.
Knowing.
Knowing.
Mokshase.
Mokshase.
You will be released.
You will be released.
Ashubhat.
Ashubhat.
From this miserable material existence.
From this miserable existence.
The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear Arjuna, because you are never envious of me, I shall impart to you this most confidential knowledge and realization, knowing which you shall be relieved of the miseries of material existence. Purport. As a devotee hears more and more about the Supreme Lord, he becomes enlightened. This hearing process is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The messages of the Supreme Personality of Godhead are full of potencies, and these potencies can be realized if topics regarding the Supreme Godhead are discussed amongst devotees. This cannot be achieved by the association of mental speculators or academic scholars, for it is realized knowledge. The devotees are constantly engaged in the Supreme Lord's service. The Lord understands the mentality of a particular devotee, mentality and sincerity of a particular living entity who is engaged in Krishna consciousness, and gives him the intelligence to understand the science of Krishna in the association of devotees. Discussion of Krishna is very potent, and a fortunate person has such association and tries to assimilate the knowledge, then he will surely make advancement toward spiritual realization. Lord Krishna, in order to encourage Arjuna to higher and higher elevation in his potent service, describes in this ninth chapter matters more confidential than any he has already described. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Niditam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mayam Tathati Sapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamstra Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Shahagana Raganatan Vitam Stam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Pradijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakhan Vitamstha. He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Manto Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Paramami Hori Priye Vansha kolpitarubhyascha kripasindhobhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namah.
Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktarina Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Let's try a little of that water. Let's see how it is. Idam tu te guhyatamam tabakshami anasuyave gyanam de gyana sahitam yad gatva mokshase ashubhat.
Lord Krishna proposes to reveal to Arjuna more confidential knowledge, the most confidential knowledge about Krishna consciousness. The very beginning of Bhagavad Gita, the first chapter, is more or less an introduction to the rest of the book. And in the second and third chapters, the spiritual knowledge described is called confidential. Topics discussed in the seventh and eighth chapters are specifically related to devotional service. And because they bring enlightenment in Krishna consciousness, they're called more confidential. But the matters described in the ninth chapter deal with unalloyed, pure devotion. Therefore, this is called the most confidential. One who is situated in the most confidential knowledge of Krishna is naturally transcendental. He therefore has no material pangs, although he is in the material world. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is said that although one has a sincere desire to render loving service to the Supreme Lord is situated in the conditional state of material existence, he is to be considered liberated. Similarly, we shall find in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, that anyone engaged in that way is a liberated person.
Mokshaseya Shubhat. By being engaged in devotional service to Krishna, one is freed from everything unfortunate or inauspicious. The most inauspicious thing is to think that I'm this body. Anyone who identifies with this body is not only in an inauspicious condition, he's no better than a cow or an ass. The Srimad Bhagavatam says, yes, what is that? Atma-buddhi kunapetri-dhatuke. Yes, atma-buddhi kunapetri-dhatuke. Svadhi-kalitra-dishu bhoma-ijyati. Yat tirta-buddhi shalale-nakari-chit. Janeshu abhigyeshu saiva-gokana. Atma-buddhi, knowledge of oneself. For the materialistic person, what is that self knowledge? Atma-buddhi kunapetri-dhatuke. That self-knowledge is, I'm this body. I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm young, I'm old, I'm this, I'm that. You ask me who I am, this is who I am. What is that? Kunapetri-dhatuke. I think that I'm this body. What is this body? It's a bag of three dhatus, kapha-pitta vayu. In Ayurvedic medicine, these are the three elements, the mucus, bile, and air. So a person who thinks that this body, this bag of three elements, is himself, is compared to Gokara, a cow or an ass. That means he's a fool.
yasyatma buddhi kunapetri tatuke, and svadhi kalatradishu. And in relationship to his body, this is my wife, these are my children, these are my countrymen, this is my samaj, this is this, this is that, all in terms of the body. Svadhi. I am this body, and this is mine, because it's connected to the body. And homa ibhuti. He worships, what is his object of worship? Some dirt. The dirt may be called America, the dirt may be called India, the dirt may be called Russia, the dirt may be called Saudi Arabia. But this is my motherland, this is my homeland, this is my land, fatherland, motherland. And he salutes the flag of his land, and he wishes that he could give his life for his country, because his body was born in that country. If his body was born in the next country over, he'd be wishing he could give his life for that country. He's also a cow or an ass. And yatirta buddhi shalale nakarhichi. And what is his idea of going on pilgrimage? His idea is that I'll go on tirtha yatra and I'll take my bath, pavitra snan, in the holy river, and then I'll come back home. Now, in the modern context, I'll take my bath in the holy river, I'll take some snaps. This is my wife and my kids and I standing by the holy river. Then he comes back home. But Janeshu, Abhigyeshu, he never thinks that now I've come to such a place, let me find a saintly person who can give me spiritual knowledge. That doesn't matter. I took my bath, I got a few souvenirs, I got my picture taken, business finished. Such a person, saiva goka, he's a cow, he's an ass. Because he has no higher understanding. Though the real thing is to get the association of sadhus. Sadhu means devotee. Sadhureva samantavya. Why? Satam prasangat mamavirya samvada. In the association of devotees, the power of Krishna Katha is manifest. Certain things are appreciated only in certain company. That's called confidential. Prabhupada gave the example, baby pictures. You have your baby pictures. If you take your baby pictures and show them, you know, to some man on the street, this is my baby, so what? Even if you show them at work, you know, people say, yeah. But if you show the pictures among the family members, oh, look at the baby, oh. Then it will be appreciated. And then there will be some, oh, this is something about the baby, about the future of the baby, about the parents of the baby, about something about the baby, what did the astrologer say about the baby? So many things in that circle will have meaning, will be appreciated, and the outsiders won't get it. So it's a baby, there's so many babies. That means it's confidential, it's not for anyone and everyone. It's for those who are specifically interested. Now, the Krishna Katha is not appreciated. For example, in the scholarly circles. There are great scholars. They can tell you everything that's in Srimad Bhagavatam. But they're not actually interested in serving Krishna.
They're not Harijan. They're not Krishna's men. They're university jan. They're the scholarly men. But they're not devotees. Therefore, at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Idam te natapaskaya na bhaktaya kadachina nacha shushushave bhaktam. This Bhagavad Gita should not be openly discussed with those who are not serious. Those who have no austerity. Idam te natapaskaya na bhaktaya. Among the non-devotees. The book is not meant simply for being tossed about as a topic for mental speculations by the impersonalists or the academic scholars. They don't have the key. They can, Prabhupada said, lick on the bottle of honey, but they can't actually taste the honey. Because they don't have the qualification. Na bhaktaya kadacha. They're not devotees. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti rahasyam yetad uttama. In the fourth chapter, Lord Krishna told Arjuna, I'm telling you this secret of Bhagavad Gita because you're my devotee. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. And because you're my friend. There's so many sannyasis, so many yogis, so many brahmins. But I'm speaking it to you, bhaktosi, because you're my devotee. That means Bhagavad Gita is meant for the devotees. And in the association of the devotees, the potency is effective. It will be meaningful when it's heard from the devotees. Therefore, Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami says, Puta Harikatamrita, what is that? Shravana Naiva Kartavya, Sarpo Chishta Yatapya, what is the beginning? Putam Harikatamrita. What's the beginning? Putam Harikatam. Avaishnava Mukod Girnam. Putam Harikatamrita. Harikata is just like nectar, amrita. But Avaishnava, if it's being spoken by a person who's not a devotee of the Lord, Shravana Naiva Kartavya. One shouldn't hear it, shouldn't be heard from a person who's not a devotee. Because when it's spoken by the non-devotee, it's simply an academic exercise or money-making business or entertainment. But it's not the actual thing. Bhaktosi me sakha cheti. The Bhagavad Gita should be heard from the devotee and in the association of the devotees. Then it will be effective. Shravana naiva kartavya. If we hear from the non-devotees, they'll mix their speculations into it. They'll mix their own motivated interpretations into it. I have a new theory that Professor such and such has said this, but it seems to be that this. Or something impersonal, that we have to merge with Krishna, we have to become Krishna, you're also Krishna, I'm also Krishna, Durga's also Krishna, Shiva's also Krishna, everything's merging everything. You worship Krishna, you worship Durga, you worship Shiva, you worship whoever you worship, it's all the same. Krishna never says these things. But they'll say these things. So that whatever, wherever you're coming from, whatever idea you have, it's all good. You just pay your entrance fee and you come see it. One has, therefore, Sarpach Chishta Yatapaya. Srila Sanatana Goswami says, that this kind of Krishna Katha is just like the sweetest milk mixed with poison. Sarpoch Chishta. It's Sarp Prasad.
It's the remnants of milk first tasted by the snake. Anybody feel hungry?
No.
No sense. Distracting. It should be avoided. Someone may say, oh, it's milk. No, it's poison. Oh, it's Krishna Katha. No, it's not polluted by the non-devotees. But if we hear from the devotees, Satam prasangatma mavirya sambhado bhavanti hritkarna rasayana katha. Then the topics become very relishable. And the result is, Judge Joshana Dashu, Apavarga Vartmani. Very quickly we make progress on the path of freedom from material existence. Shuddha Ritir Bhaktir Nushukadukumishati. We get faith in the subject matter. We become attached to Krishna consciousness. And we want to be engaged in pure devotional service to Krishna. Shuddha, step by step, Shuddha Ritir Bhaktir Anukramishati. Well, all of these things are possible when we hear from the devotees in the association of devotees. Then the Guhyatama, the most confidential secrets, are understood. Now this first verse has specific significance. The words idam gyanam, this knowledge, refer to pure devotional service, which consists of 9 different activities: hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, obeying, maintaining friendship, and surrendering everything. By the practice of these 9 elements of devotional service, one is elevated to spiritual consciousness, Krishna consciousness. When one's heart is thus cleansed of material contamination, one can understand the science of Krishna. Simply to understand that a living entity is not material is not sufficient. That may be the beginning of spiritual realization. One should recognize the difference between activities of the body and the spiritual activities of one who understands that he is not the body. In the 7th chapter, we have already discussed the opulent potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his different energies, the inferior and superior natures, and all this material manifestation. Now, in chapter 9, the glories of the Lord will be delineated. The Sanskrit word anasuyave in this verse is also very significant. Generally, the commentators, even if highly scholarly, are all envious of Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Even the most erudite scholars write on Bhagavad Gita very inaccurately, because they are envious of Krishna. Their commentaries are useless. The commentaries given by devotees of the Lord are bona fide. No one can explain Bhagavad Gita or give perfect knowledge of Krishna if he's envious. One who criticizes the character of Krishna without knowing him is a fool. No such commentaries should be very, such commentaries should be very carefully avoided. For one who understands that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the pure and transcendental personality, these chapters will be very beneficial. Anasuyave means not envious. Tanaham dushita kruran sangsareshu nirana. Iccha dvesha sumut tena vandvamohena bhavata. Sarvabhutani sammoham sargayanti parantapa. Our original problem is envy. We don't want to serve. We want to be served. We don't want to
occupy the subordinate position. We want to occupy the supreme position. Therefore, we find that among the envious, the attempt is there to become God. They pray, I am a drop. Make me the ocean. I am a drop. Make me the ocean. I'm just a little tiny something now. Make me the everything. That means envious. I'm a citizen. Make me the king. I'm the clerk. Make me the CEO. It's envious. Why should Krishna be supreme? Why I'm also I just someone wrote to me. Nice kind of letter, Swamiji, I heard your something or other, it was very nice. And at the end he put that every one of us is potentially God. I wrote, what potentially God? If you're not God now, how are you going to become God? Matasya karyam karanam cha vidyate. Definition of God is he doesn't have to do anything. And why are you undertaking some spiritual process if you're already God? And now we have to realize that we're God. Why does God have to realize something? What kind of God is that? No, and classic, well, we're God, but now we've forgotten that we're God because we're an illusion. What kind of God is that? That he's an illusion. So we went back and forth. Finally he wrote me that, obviously, you just don't get it, Swami, and, you know, goodbye. You know, he didn't want to hear that he's not actually or potentially everything. That means envious. Either I'm God, or we're all God, or we're all one with God, but we're not servants of God. That's the envious mentality. Why should I serve? Why should I serve? There's some poetry by Milton, Paradise Lost, and there Satan says, better to reign in hell than serve in heaven. That's the mentality. I'd rather be the top dog down here than to be a subordinate angel there. Envious. Envious. Therefore, they badmouth Krishna. Krishna is just an ordinary human being. Oh, Krishna is a legendary figure in the Mahabharata. Oh, Krishna is one of so many gods. Oh, Krishna, actually, Lord Shiva is better than anything other than Krishna Stu Bhagavan Swayam. Anything other than Krishna is the Supreme Lord, I'm a servant of Krishna, that they don't like. Or, yes, we're all servants, and by serving we become. That means envious. The classic envious was Shishupal. Yeah, just there's so many men in this assembly who deserve to be honored. Bhishma, Drona, so many important men. And they're glorifying this Krishna who's just a coward boy and nobody knows whether he's the son of Vasudev or the son of Nanda. Nobody knows whether he's a Kshatriya or a Vaishya. He has no qualities, nothing. Anyone else could have been elected, and they've elected this talkative person. Huh? Simply envious. Simply envious of Krishna. There are so many commentators. They write their commentaries on Krishna's book, but enviously. Yeah, Krishna may say this, but
Now we know this.
It means I'm more intelligent. Krishna, what does Krishna know? I know something. All envious. So Anasuya Day, Krishna could have spoken to so many, but he's speaking to Arjuna because Arjuna is not envious. Iccha dvesha samuttena. Because of this envy, we're here in the material world. Iccha, because of desire to enjoy independently, and dvesha, because of envy of Krishna. So Anasuya Day, one should not be resentful. Why do I have to serve? Why can't I do whatever I want and enjoy? We're trying to enjoy. One thing is, it doesn't work. We were discussing yesterday that America is so much better than India. They have this, they have that. They have this. But what enjoyment do they have? They should be the happiest people on earth. All of our... all the people should have big smiles on their faces and be completely satisfied. And instead, they're in anxiety, they're in agitation, they're in insecurity, they're marrying and divorcing. There's so many problems. They're number one, living on antidepressants. Why antidepressants? When they're so rich, when they're so advanced, when they can push a button and brush their teeth? Why should they be depressed? But because they have no spiritual understanding. Antidepressants, just to maintain a baseline, not actually to become happy, but not to be depressed. It's not called a happy drug. It's only an anti-misery drug. That your mind is not in depression. Why depression? I have all of these things and I'm not happy. I've done this, I've done that, I've tried this, I've tried that. I've smoked this, I've eaten that, I've slept with this one, slept with that, and still I'm not happy. So now what? Now antidepressants. That means the material life of sense enjoyment, when we have it, is a failure. In India, they're thinking, we don't have it. You know, we don't have the latest whatever. We don't have this. Now we're getting it. You know, we open call centers and we make a lot of money and then we can be just like the Americans. Otherwise, no, we don't still it's not to the American standard. Let me go to America. Let me get a green card. And I'll enjoy. But the Americans are already here, and they're not enjoying. India can say, well, we haven't gotten there yet. Here we are. We've been here for so many dozens or hundreds of years, and we're not enjoying. Now my life is successful. Now everything is perfect. Or if we're thinking that way, then we're being bewildered by the illusory energy. It's just the little jolly state before the hammer comes on our head. That's the nature of the material world. There's no happiness. And even if there appears to be some happiness, ashashvatam, it will be finished. Then unhappiness. Janma mrityu jarabhi. It's not... So our business is not to try to be happy in this material world. Moha guhit vasagraha, grasping for something which is not real, something which doesn't exist. Our business is to surrender to Krishna. So Krishna, in this ninth chapter, is going to give jnana vijnana sahita. Jnana means knowledge. And vijnana means realized knowledge. Jnana is theoretical. I read the book, I get jnana. But vijnana means realized knowledge. The realized knowledge we get under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master and the association of devotees, then we'll understand the science of Krishna. All right.
What kind of questions do we have today? Thank you very much. Any questions? Yes.
Swami, you talked about the material life. So I'm curious, the biggest enemy of spiritual life is desires, right, and control of the mind. So what thoughts do you have to recognize, control, and eliminate desires?
You can't eliminate desire. Not possible. Living entity, by constitution, is meant for thinking, for feeling, and for having desires. That's the nature of a living being. So if we try to become void of thoughts, void of feelings, void of desires, it doesn't work. They'll come back. But we have to change the thoughts, change the feelings, change the desires. Instead of thinking of rubbish, then think of Krishna. Instead of feeling something in relationship to Maya, feel something in relationship to Krishna. And instead of desiring to enjoy in this material world, desire to please Krishna. The thinking, feeling, and willing is not stopped, but changed. The account is changed. So our centerpiece for that is this chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Chaito Dharpana Maja. That will purify the mind. The mind is purified, then it will think of Krishna. When it thinks of Krishna, then it will feel something for Krishna. It feels something for Krishna, it will want to serve Krishna. That will be possible. Yat pada pankaja palasha vilasha dhyata. Kumaras told Maharaj Prithu that to try to stop the waves of material desire is not practical. But if one's mind becomes tangled up in the lotus petal feet of Krishna, very easily. Is that okay?
Yes. A related question is, who is a happy person? You find happiness.
Krishna is the happy person.
None of us?
We're happy when we're connected with Krishna. Prabhupada gave the example, some lorry is going, and you know, someone is riding a bicycle, he grabs the back of the lorry, and he's going at lorry speed. Because he's connected now with the lorry. He doesn't have to do anything, he only has to catch hold of the lorry, then he's going. So Krishna is happy, you connect yourself with Krishna, you'll also be happy. You know who's happy independently of Krishna?
No one.
Yeah, no one. Maybe bluffing, I'm happy. Or maybe bewildered, I'm happy. But then, smashed. Because it's based on illusion. That I'm the enjoyer, I'm the controller. But the actual, when one is engaged in the service of Krishna, then we share in Krishna's happiness. That's our constitutional position. Just like the king, the servant of the king is enjoying practically like the king. Lives in the palace, eats the same food, protected by the same army. As long as he thinks, I'm the servant. As soon as he thinks, the throne looks nice. Then he's finished. But as long as he's the servant of the king, all the privileges, practically, the same enjoyable life, he also takes part in. All right, he's not the king, but he doesn't have to be the king. He's the servant of the king.
He lives in the castle.
Yeah, he lives in the castle. Everything is there.
I've got a question.
Sure.
I'm trying to. My interest is to try and spread this philosophy more widely.
Yeah.
I'm a member of an environmental group in the beach,
mm-hmm.
and we have
quite a large number of members, and I believe the philosophy would be of great value to them, or to the movement. So I invited them to the temple, but inevitably they won't come. And the reason I seem to hear, the feedback I get such as this, is that they're frightened of religion. All right, so then I think, okay, well, maybe perhaps we could just do Gita reading classes. But then what I'm hearing is that, if I heard what you said here, that, I mean, if they're not receptive, or if it's just an academic exercise, then that's an exercise of futility.
If they're hearing from devotees, it will have benefit.
Okay, all right.
I can recommend, of course, they're thinking religion, but the intelligent people will think that religion is a very powerful thing. So it should be, if I want to achieve something, I should connect with religion. Just as a political strategy. So many people belong to a religion, or so many people, I mean, what motivates people? The most motivated people are people with spiritual motivations. The civil rights movement was successful because of spiritually motivated leaders. So many movements have been, like Indian independence movement, there was some spiritually motivated person involved. So when there's a spiritual component, it's a very powerful thing. Otherwise it's simply, you know, politics and we like it better. You know, the same people who are environmentalists will sit down and eat turkeys. That means they're not, they're compromised. But if you find something that's based on spiritual knowledge, that has higher motivating force and higher, a real platform on which to stand. I can recommend to you, there are some books by Runshaw Prime.
Oh, I just heard that,
man.
Yes.
He's, been associated with the Worldwide Fund for Nature, as well as other environmental groups, and he's published several books about the connection between Krishna consciousness and environmental consciousness. So I think on Krishna.com probably you'll find his books.
Yeah, right, just a couple of days ago I found this, yes.
Okay. There's a recent one highlighting the farming activities at Bhaktivedanta Manor in England. And the previous book is also there. So I think that may be a good starting place for introducing your environmental friends, environmentalist friends. Quite well written books.
When you're reading the Gita, and you're reading Prabhupada's commentaries, is that in the association of devotees? Because Prabhupada is...
Yeah, that's also the association of devotees. And then if you read Prabhupada's books in the association of other devotees, still further.
Another question. So what's the definition of a sin?
Definition of?
Of sin.
Sin.
Most people knowingly will not commit a sin, but...
Oh, that's not true. Knowingly also they do it.
Most people would not like to commit a sin knowingly. You could debate that, but you know what
they might not like to, but they'll do it anyway.
Right. So how do you control it? How do you conquer it?
That's a very good discussion. How we control the impulse to perform sinful activities.
Right.
That's discussed between Prikshit Maharaj and Sukadev Goswami. In 6th canto, 7th canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th canto, connection with Ajamya, or leading up to those topics. Prikshit Maharaj asked, you know, people are performing sinful activities, what should they do? Then there was some discussion that, well, they can perform prayaschita, some activities for atonement. Prikshamar said, that doesn't seem to work. They sin and atone and sin and atone and sin and atone. And finally, then someone may say, well, knowledge, development of knowledge.
But even then we see people know, and still they do it. Who hasn't heard, thou shalt not kill? Who hasn't heard, thou shalt not steal? Who doesn't know that these things are sinful? And still, even people know that you do this, you get caught, you'll be put in jail. And still they do it. Even knowledge isn't effective, because still the heart remains polluted. And then finally, Shukadeva Goswami said that the real thing is devotional service. Kechit kevalaya bhaktya vasudeva. That devotional service, karmani nirdhati kintu cha bhakti bhava. You, by prayaschita, by some atonement, the plant of sinful life is growing and you cut it down. Then it grows up again. But by devotional service, you uproot the plant. Or you fry the seeds of the plant, so it doesn't grow anymore. Therefore, if the governments of the world want to get citizens who are honest, who are law-abiding, then they should introduce Krishna consciousness. God consciousness.
His first question was, what is sin?
That was the first. Sin means, just like, what is crime? What is crime?
Anything against the law?
Yeah. Activities which are against the law, that's crime. They pull you into court and they say, Your Honor, according to such and such ordinance, or such and such law, and the defendant has broken that law, that's crime. So there are laws of God also. Dharmam hi sakshat bhagavat pranitam. The laws of dharma are given by God. No one can stay home and manufacture law. Law has to be, laws given by God. What sin means, when we act against the principles given by God, that's sin. Papa. The basic principle of sinful life is, let me be independently the enjoyer. When I'm servant, then problem will not be there. That okay? What else? If anything.
I have a question.
You have a question.
Yes, in the, also in the ninth chapter, Krishna says that always think of me. So how can we always think of him?
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare
Rama,
Hare
Rama,
Rama
Rama,
Hare
Hare. Kirtaniya Siddhartha. Chant Hare Krishna always. Prabhupada said chanting is thinking. You're chanting Hare Krishna, where will your mind be? You'll think of Krishna. And you read books like Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and speak about Krishna, naturally you'll think of Krishna. Chant about Krishna, hear about Krishna, serve Krishna, see the deity of Krishna, offer something to Krishna. You'll think of Krishna.
In our dreams, how can we think of Krishna?
Yeah. While you're awake, do all of these things. While you're dreaming, you'll do the same thing. Prabhupada gave the example that one of his uncle or someone was a cloth merchant, and even while he was sleeping, he was quoting prices for cloth. So make it your business, Krishna consciousness, during the day. At night also you'll chant Hare Krishna.
I think I heard you say in a lecture once that the devotees in New York, you woke up once at night and they were still chanting Hare Krishna in their sleep.
Yeah, that's how practical. They're chanting. They're sleeping and chanting. Something else?
I had a question about why why is it important to give up sex desire, and how does one do that?
Why is it important to give up sex desire, and how does one do that? It's important because sex desire is the basic principle of material existence. Striya pumsa striya maitini bhavaneta tayor mitor hriya grantamahu anta griha kshetra sutapta vittar janasya mohoyam aham mameti. This attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material life. Pumsa striya maitini bhavaneta tayor mitor Hridyagrantamahu, when the male and female are together, this tight knot develops. I was reading, I picked up a book written by a religious man about biblical subject matter. The book is called The Reason for Being. And it was written by the man in his old age. He'd written 40 books. Now he's writing this book, he says, probably this will be my last book. And he says in this dedication that I want to dedicate this book to the purpose of my life, the goal of my life, the hope of my, the source of my hope throughout my life, my very reason for being, my wife. But this is what happens. The man becomes attracted to the woman, woman becomes attracted to the man, they get together and then they become infatuated. They become completely attached. I can't live without her. I can't live without him. I'd rather die than all of that. Ata griha kshetra suta apta vittai. And from that attachment, there's expansion. What is that? Griha, young man can go anywhere, live anywhere, doesn't need anything. But when he's married, then he and his wife need a home. An apartment, a home, and some land, some property. If possible, more property, bigger home. Griha, kshetra, and sutta. Putrahinam griha shunyam. Without children, what is the meaning of home? So then they want children. And apta, the relatives, they have to get together with the relatives, and the home has to look good so that when the relatives come, they'll say, oh, your home is so nice. Oh, your children are such good children. And for that, vittai, we need so much money. Even to have a child these days, what's the cost of?
$1 million.
$400,000.
Yeah, that's like lifetime cost. A child costs you like $300,000-$400,000, you know, over the life. You know, like my computer over its lifetime costs me, like, I just renewed the service contract, so 5 years, say $2,000. So if I get a new one every 5 years, and if I live to be 100 years, it's what? Do that, $40,000 for my whole life. If I live to be 100, and I start when I'm 1 year old, $40,000. But one child costs you 10 times that.
Yes.
And one child's not enough. We need two or three. You know, the baby needs company.
We baby.
Confirmed by the authority.
So, so much money is needed.
That means working hard, working hard, working hard, or an anxiety, what's going to happen to my job, or I can't get a job, or I'm going to lose my job. If I lose my job, then I'll lose my apartment, or I won't be able to pay my mortgage. Better that both of us should work, and both of us should be in anxiety. I'm working to pay for the house, she's working to pay for the child care. So vittai, working, 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 and janasya mohoyam. With all of this, home and family and property and money and relatives and this and that, one becomes bewildered. One becomes more locked into the bodily concept of life. I'm this body, this is my wife, this is my husband, these are our children, this is our home, this is our country. Aham mameti. I'm this body and this is mine. Asanga shastrena dridhena chitva. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, one has to be able to cut oneself free from all of this. Asanga shastrena, by the weapon of detachment. Weapon of detachment. Now that doesn't mean everybody just runs to the forest, abandoning everything. But it means that one has to be more attached to Krishna. So that one performs one's household duties out of duty, not out of madness. Not out of madness, that my life becomes more happy the more property I have, the more stuff is in my house, the more gadgets, the more bigger the car. But the more we advance in Krishna consciousness, therefore the household life is meant to be directed in such a way that husband and wife are both engaged in the service of Krishna. Otherwise, husband and wife are both engaged in the service of their senses, and they both become unhappy. Finally it comes where I'm not getting the sense gratification that I thought I was going to get. I was expecting this and I'm only getting this. Why? It's the wrong wife or wrong husband. Then they become angry. Then they go to court. And then there's a nasty scene. All right, got rid of that one. And then they're so stupid they go do it again. Puna punas charvita charvananam, chewing the chewed again and again. Trip yanti neha kripana bahudukha. Never satisfied. Yan maitunari grihamedi sukkamitupcham. Kanduya nena karivari vidukkadukkam. In Bhagavatam, when family life is simply based on sex happiness, maitunari, grihamedi sukkam. There are two kinds of householders, the spiritually oriented householders and those who are trying to be happy by material enjoyment. So the grihasthas are the spiritually oriented householders, and those who are trying to be happy materially are the grihamedis. Grihamedi sukkam hituchcham. That happiness simply based on sex is tuchcham, insignificant. 2 minutes business, what enjoyment will there be? Kanduryanena karayoriva dukkha. It's like scratching an itch. The more you itch, the more you scratch, the more it itches. Kanduya nena karayor eva dukkha dukkha. Misery upon misery. That's actually what it is. They're looking for happiness, but they're finding misery. Vishayendriya samyogat yattaragre mritopamam pariname vishamiva tatsukam rajasansmita. Happiness in the mode of passion is like nectar in the beginning. The roses are blooming and the nightingales are singing and the moon is shining and we're in love. And Parinave Vishwamidya. At the end it's like poison. You know, he's throwing something at her. He's cursing, she's cursing at him. I hate your guts. My father was right about you. Even dukkha dukkha, even if they're not fighting among one another, they're battling against the whole world because where is money, where is money? Tripyanti neha, they're never satisfied because the senses never will be satisfied. Kripana, they're miserly men because the human life is meant for spiritual realization. And they're not giving their energy for that. They're just trying to enjoy materially. Tripyanti neya tripana bahuduka bhadu. So many troubles. Kandu divan. Vishaheta diva. Therefore, one has to be sober. Tira means sober person. Tira stachra nuiti, not be yogi. That means Krishna conscious. If one's Krishna conscious, then he's not bewildered. Otherwise, if one is simply imagining sankalpa prabhavan kaamam, imagining how he'll enjoy by sex, he's bewildered. Well, Krishna consciousness means a sun, what is that? Vinivritta kama.
Dvandvaya mukta.
Yeah, what's the beginning? Red book? Nirmana moha jitta sangha dosha. Nirmana moha jitta sangha dosha. Adhyatma nitya vinivritta kama dvandvaya vimukta sukha dukkha sangara gacchanti mudha parama vivantat nirmana moha. One should be freed from the bewilderment, thinking this is mine, this is mine. Free from association with the three modes of nature. Situated in spiritual knowledge. And vinivritta kama, free from these pointless material desires. Vanvaya vimukta, sukha dukkha sangar, free from these dualities. I like this, I don't like this, this is, makes me happy, this makes me miserable. One should be situated in Krishna consciousness. Amudha. One shouldn't be an ass. One should be a devotee. Then gacchanti amudha paramabhi, then he can go back to Godhead. Never come back. Is that okay? Anything else on this or other topics?
Karma versus dharma, can you elaborate?
Uh-huh.
Karma and dharma. Right. So
the fools think that karma and dharma are the same thing.
And
work is worship.
Right. So work versus occupation.
Work is work.
People associate dharma with religion, right? It's really occupation and responsibility.
Real responsibility is to surrender to Krishna. Manmana bhava madbhakta madhyaji man namaskuru. Not that simply working. Otherwise, the ass is working. But if what work were worship, the ass would be a pujari. Work is work. When I'm simply working for sense gratification, then I'm an ass. And when I'm working to satisfy Krishna, then I'm a pujari. Not that simply I'm working, therefore I'm a pujari. I'm doing karma, therefore I'm doing dharma. I'm doing karma, therefore I'm a karmi, that's all.
Dharma means when I work for Krishna. When my goal is to satisfy Krishna, Sarvapadi Vinir Muktam Tatpratena Nirmala Rishikena Rishikesha Seva. When I'm engaging my senses to satisfy Krishna's senses, that's Dharma. Okay. Otherwise people are flattering themselves. I'm working and therefore I'm doing my dharma. No. You're working, therefore you're an ass. If you're not connecting your work with Krishna, then you're an ass, that's all. Not that this is dharma. Never Krishna, sarva dharman, prachyaja. You give up all your nonsense, so-called dharma, and surrender to me. Mamekam shodhanam. Otherwise, by my karma, I just become entangled. But by surrendering to Krishna, mokshyasyami, I become freed from material existence. Is that okay? You have a little more kirtan?
You have a question?
You have a question.
I had a question, Maharaj. For the people who never, who don't know about Krishna consciousness, like some of us here, what is the stepping stone? How do they climb the... Read the books.
Bhagavad Gita as it is. Who hasn't read Bhagavad Gita as it is? Come on. Okay. Who doesn't have a copy of Bhagavad Gita as it is? Okay, so you're the eligible customer today for Bhagavad Gita as it is. Get yourself a copy, and you'll get so much knowledge about Krishna. Even if you read a page a day, so at the end of year and a half, 2 years, you'll have read Bhagavad Gita. Now, you know, have you read Bhagavad Gita? No. Dharma, karma, but I haven't read Bhagavad Gita. I don't know what Krishna said. And if you read 10 pages a day, then of course. So take the Bhagavad Gita. Then step two, if you already have the Bhagavad Gita, then read it. Something, something. Even sit down with your family member 10 minutes a day. In the morning or in the evening. You know, who has a television? Oh, come on. Who doesn't have a television? Okay.
We're just going to get an hour computer. 2 months ago.
We have a computer, right? So we get it all there.
Yeah.
You just disconnected this 2 months ago. So.
Excuse me?
I disconnected TV 2 months ago.
All right. Kubalo, hey. Disconnect your TV. But who has one and never watches it?
Me.
Wow.
Last 2 years I haven't watched.
All right. So probably those who haven't watched it, you have time for reading Bhagavad Gita, for chanting Hare Krishna. If you're still watching it, steal some time every day from your television, you know, just somehow or other get a grip on it and turn the damn thing off for 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour. Read Bhagavad Gita. You saved so much time. You won't miss whatever it is that you missed, and you'll gain so much. No one ever went back to Godhead by watching NBC. But you read the Bhagavad Gita. We have one friend, he became a devotee. He was a big executive in, you know, this Dushtur and Company, their big construction company in Bombay. So he was an executive with that company. He was living toward the Andheri side, Juhu side, northern Bombay. And every day he would go to Nariman Point for his work. And his driver is there, and he's sitting in the back of the car, he's reading the newspaper, and by the time he reaches his work, he's finished his newspaper, he's ready for work. But one time he attended some seminar in Juhu on Bhagavad Gita. So then he purchased, it was a good seminar, so he purchased the Bhagavad Gita. And then on that same commute, he began reading Bhagavad Gita every day.
put aside the newspaper, read Bhagavad Gita, became completely a devotee. So if you read this Bhagavad Gita, then instead of building all this rubbish, then he was like central man for building our temple in Delhi and other projects. They just changed the account. So read this Bhagavad Gita as it is. Little bit every day, something, something, and you'll get so much knowledge. Read the books, chant something, Hare Krishna. One round takes, if you're slow, maximum 15 minutes. One time around the beats, probably less. And you'll get something. You begin chanting something, reading something. These programs are always going on, I think, in Orange County. Take advantage when there's a gathering of devotees. Come, hear something, chant something, take prasadam. Everything will happen. Is that okay?
Yes, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
Maharaj, by nature, people want to enjoy, whether it is TV or, you know, material pleasure or any kind of pleasure, eating, sleeping, meeting, whatever it is. However, spiritual life needs some discipline.
Means?
Needs some discipline.
Yeah.
So, you know...
The discipline is so that you can enjoy.
People who just started their spiritual life, they may be frustrated, you know?
No, why? The person who's sick, he wants to eat anything and everything. He who doesn't enjoy, he gets more sick. But if you follow a little discipline, then you get to eat anything. If you want to enjoy, you have to follow the discipline. If you want to go directly and enjoy, you'll suffer.
I think the majority of the people, you know, have that problem. You know?
Yeah, therefore they're suffering.
If you see in this world, you know.
Like therefore the devotees are enjoying, and the people in general are suffering. So if they want to enjoy, even materially though, where's the suffering? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement is so nice that from the very beginning there's enjoyment. People are paying money to sing and dance. We're singing and dancing for free. People are paying money to go to some big restaurant and eat some nasty stuff. And we're getting better food at, you know, without so much expenditure. And we're getting spiritual benefit at the same time. We were discussing, the Americans, you know, they have so much money. They don't know how to eat. They're eating something frozen and nuked. No mother knows how to cook, you know. They know how to work, but they don't know how to cook. They know how to shop and buy something which you can pop in the microwave, and that's it. Where's the fun? You know, if life is, you know, what's fun in life? Eating. And what are they eating? The richest country in the world, and they're eating all nasty things, and they don't even know how to cook it. And we're getting nice Krishna prasadam, so many varieties. Healthy, everything. Even from the material point of view, we're getting better enjoyment. So if you want to enjoy, come sing and dance with us. We're enjoying, we're singing and dancing. What are you doing? You're moping in front of your television set. Seeing the news, you know. There's a fire here, there's a disaster there, there's a murder here, there's a new taxes there, there's a problem here, there's a scandal there. That's what you watch every night for an hour. Where's your happiness? Does that make you happy? When you put down your newspaper after you've read it every day, you feel, now I'm happy. I've read the newspaper. Okay? Or what is their happiness? They watch a football game. Some guys are, you know, banging into one another and piling up on top of one another. Is there that happiness? Watching it is happiness? And if it's happiness, how much happiness? And how long does it last? So if you want to be happy materially and spiritually, become a devotee of Krishna.
Thank you.
I have one question. Can you, I mean, partake in the material world in a detached sort of way with no aversion, but at the same time, you are a very spiritual person and you know your identity as a soul with Krishna. And can you live materially with
That's not materially. If you know that you're a soul and that you're part of Krishna, what does the part do?
Serve Krishna.
Serves the whole, yeah? So if by your activities you're serving Krishna, whether it's by working, by cooking, by whatever it may be, that's devotional service. You're chanting Hare Krishna, you're working for Krishna. You're in the material world. That's mentioned in the purport. Even while in the material world, you're a liberated person. Because you're not working for your sense gratification, you're working for Krishna's purpose. So then, liberated even in this life. Is that alright? The same thing. The karmi is working here, and the devotee is working right next to him. But one is working for his sense gratification, the other is working to please Krishna. That's the difference. And not just rubber stamp, that I'm just doing this for Krishna, but really it's my sense gratification. But when he's actually Krishna conscious, then he's detached. That's what detached means. That doesn't matter, this or that, as long as I'm serving Krishna, everything's all right. Is that okay? Your tongue?